WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Battle Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now...
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
It's on me now, Oos.
Hey, I'ma get them all. I'ma get them all, Oos.
Chat.
Yeah. I'ma get them. I'ma get them. I'ma get them. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's on me now, Oos. It's on me.
Hey, hey. Main Event J. Uso is now in your city.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, we can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. It is not Thursday night, y'all, but it is directly after the Royal Rumble. We are here to talk all about it because, yeet, motherfuckers, stuff happened. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin. And we have a guest.
Yeet. Intro the guest.
Joining us from CB Radio and Wrestle Talk Radio is the one, the only, the keeper of the records, the intern, Kane Kittens.
It's just me, Oos.
Day one-ish.
From day one.
Intern-ish.
Intern-ish. Your turn? Are you turn?
He's turn.
He's turn?
I mean, this pay-per-view may have turned some people, but we'll talk about some of those decisions.
Yeah. We were going to talk about a lot of scary stuff, a lot of surprises, a lot of yeet.
Dear God, she's had a lot of work done. Dude, those cheeks and those lips, holy God.
She was very skinny, and she needs to get a sandwich.
She needs a sandwich. She needs, you know, like regular, like facial features. She needs a lot of things.
I just saw how skinny she was. She needs to eat a sandwich.
Oh, yeah. Look at her up on the ropes. Yeah, girl, hamburger, too. Just something.
Well, I know she was training like a bat out of hell.
Yeah, she looks great. She looks very much in shape, but eat a sandwich.
We're not shaming, just it, like.
Eat.
Fill
eat
out.
Eat. Eat and eat. Anyway, we're here to talk all about the Royal Rumble. Four matches, and it took over four and a half hours.
It doesn't even feel that long.
No, it doesn't feel that long, because, like, when after 30 came, there was at least another 20 minutes of the Rumble, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And we're going to break it all down. I guess, Lindsay, we start with the Women's Rumble match.
That is what opened the show. And we had some excitement in this one as they filled this out very, very, very nicely. We had, coming in number one, Io Sky, followed by Liv Morgan, Roxanne Perez, Lyra Valkyria, Chelsea Green.
Lyra had a moment.
Okay, so
we'll
let's stop where you're at, Chelsea Green, for a moment. Roxanne coming at number three, that was huge. She spent a long time in the match. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, she finished second.
Yeah.
The first, like, three were in there for a long, long, long time.
Liv Morgan stands, as we talked about. Probably we're not exactly happy that she came in number two, but she had a hell of a performance of survival.
How could they not be happy? She was out there for, like, what, 45, 50 minutes?
By the way.
But Lindsay, she didn't win. The internet's mad.
By the way, the sports presentation of the Royal Rumble this year, top notch.
Bottom third.
Oh, that was so good. That was so fucking good. I love that.
How many people are still in? What number you're on? How many eliminations someone has had? It was so nice to see that.
The running clock for how long certain people were in the match. Like, here's the longest person at the end within the men's, and showed. I just saw what you wrote in the sheet, Brent, for number 30. that just caught my eye.
I put my emotions into this spreadsheet.
He sure did. But they had a running time of how long the last two in the men's rumble were. Like, that is awesome. So it was a really nice sports presentation for it, because it was on Netflix for the first time. So you're expanding to a whole new audience internationally who could be seeing this presentation of the Royal Rumble and have no idea what it is. So for the casual viewer, the sports viewer, that was great.
Well, and it's a takeoff of what they've done in years past, because you had, I want to say last year was the Slim Jim clock. And we all were like, some of the timing on that was a little weird, because they used, like, the Slim Jim as a one. But, like, last year, I remember they had, like, I want to say, like, the three longest people that were in the match, they would keep it on the top left of, like, a running clock for them. And we all talked last year about, like, oh, that's really cool to see. This year, they elevated the game and put it very much, like Rock said, in a very sports format of, like, this looks like it could have been right off of ESPN.
And that, and with the people who produce the content, that's no surprise. They come from the College Game Day background. And, you know, I'm listening to Joe Tessitore right now. He's been on ESPN for ages. So, it just seems perfectly done. Anyway, you can continue some of the names, and then we'll stop you as we have comments.
Well, we had the one moment, though, with poor Lyra.
Oh, yeah, that's where we stopped. Oh, yeah. So Lyra had a wardrobe malfunction, almost.
Like, two or three spots, because it's like, I watched it live, and she hit two or three moves, and then she did the thing where it's like, if you were paying attention, you went, oh, no, because she put her hand right on top of her. Well, I saw her, like, trying to adjust her neck for a second. And then I realized, like, oh, the clasp or the zipper or whatever came undone. And then she put her hand on the top of her gear and was trying to wrestle one-handed. And Liv, good job on her part, like took her to the corner so that, or, you know, like put a move so that she had to go to the corner. And then like two of the production hands came running over and the camera was framed just enough where you couldn't see the corner.
Yeah.
See, I saw that and like I kept trying to figure out what was going on because you said, oh no, Lyra or something in the chat. And I was like, did she get hurt? And I'm looking and I'm trying to see, and it's like you couldn't see anything, but you saw people like running around her and trying to check on her. And it's like, and she got back up and she was fine. So it's like, well, if she's injured, it's not serious. But you just didn't know.
No, it was a good save on her and production's part, because otherwise we may have seen more of Lyra Valkyria than they intended.
Yeah. To answer Matt, hold on. To answer Matt, no, if Peacock loses it, it all goes to Netflix. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, it's all going to Netflix probably. When the contract's up,
if they lose it.
I mean, here's the thing: it wouldn't hurt them to keep it on Peacock.
It's another platform.
But it might be easier to move it all over to Netflix. But we'll see. Because honestly, let's be real: if I could cancel Peacock, that would be awesome. But yeah, like I'm sure Lyra had stuff on underneath to make sure that, you know, we don't have an incident or two. So I'm sure she had that taken care of, but I'm very happy it didn't occur and she's good. Cause that honestly, from a female perspective, that would be like the worst fear is either the top or the bottom. There's a malfunction and then all your business is just hanging out in front of God and everybody in the world because you're live broadcasting across the world. So everybody's seeing everything and way more than you ever wanted them to see. So that would be like really like terrifying for me. I remember like back in the day when all the girls would wrestle and just basically bras. Mm-hmm. And you're just kind of holding your breath that, you know, gravity and the double stick tape hold because, you know, if it doesn't, shit's just going to go everywhere. So I imagine that's like a fear for some of them because it's like, if you notice like the way that some of them do their tops now that they're just completely covered,
oh, yeah.
That way they don't have to deal with that situation.
Well, I still remember that one time with, I think it was Carmella at like a house show and she was like hanging on for dear life. And she was doing, I think, one of those like spinning hurricane ranas with one hand. And like trying to keep herself covered because her neck piece broke.
Yeah.
Yep. It's like you just holding on to everything, you know? You're making sure it's not going anywhere.
By the way, Chelsea Green again, superstar performance.
Oh god, she killed. She's so killed.
She killed it.
She was perfect.
I love when Piper was coming in and she's sitting there like, oh, her, you know, whatever Secretary of Defense is coming. And she's just screaming at her, like, looking at the clock, get your ass in here.
Hurry up, run down.
And then she hid behind her.
Yeah.
Run, for God's sake, get here.
Yeah. All right.
Save me.
BFAB 6, Ivy Nile, Zoe Stark, Lash Legend, NXT came into the match. Bianca Belair was number 10.
I will say one thing about this Rumble. They got the new IC and the US and the tags out relatively early in this.
Yeah, by 15, they were all in the ring.
Yeah.
They were all in the ring. So they got them all out relatively early. That ring filled up too.
It was filled for a majority of the match. There was at least 10 people for a long time.
Yeah, it was like consistent 10 to 11.
Shayna, Bailey, Sonya, Maxine, Naomi were your next five. Then you had Jada Parker from NXT. Then you had the Piper Niven spot. Then Natalya. And apparently someone's mother's 50th birthday had a party interruption.
I mean, for the pop that somebody got, I think it's well worth it.
The official in-ring debut as a WWE superstar, Jordynne Grace.
She looked magnificent.
Yeah, I was going to say, the funny thing is, like, even 2 weeks ago, like, she looked built, but, like, she seemed more, not muscular, but like, I'm trying to think of the best way to put this.
Tone?
She looked a lot more toned for today.
WWE shape.
Right. She looked, in 2 weeks?
Go to work. She's a gym rat. Go to work.
I get that, but it's like, when we saw her last against, Tessa, It's like, you know, she looked big up top, like muscular and just dense. And it's like, she came out for this, and I kind of went, she smoothed out. She looks, like you said, more toned for this. Huh. Not that either is bad. Just, it was just a different look.
She appeared, and she had a great performance. She interacted with a lot of people, including her frenemy, Naomi. They had a hug. They had a hug, a long hug. And somebody didn't like it. Bianca was like, girl, what you doing?
I already lost one partner. I'm not losing two. God damn it. Get your hands off her.
She's mine, damn it.
I called dibs.
And then we brought in Meechan. And then number 21.
Poor Meechan.
My number!
Glitter, glitz, sparkle, bliss.
I'm just going to say it. Points!
That contract got worked out.
So let's talk about that. So, oh my God, they're so far apart in their contract negotiations. Yeah, you know what they're gonna say, why they're gonna say that? So the dirt cheats
expected
say, hey, guess what? Yeah, we're far apart. Amazing that they were like she had new merch and everything all put together. Like she was going to appear a couple weeks ago, and then they, you know, the dirt sheet said, "Oh no, they're far apart," and they said on the broadcast. That's why you don't read the dirt sheets.
I will say, there was a good camera angle for when she came, because she came out and Indy erupted.
She got a huge pop.
And then I sent a video to our group chat. Lindsay, did you see her jacket?
Yes.
It is a very nice tribute. So she has a jacket that says friends, but the R and the S are scratched in with white and the rest of it is red. So you remove those two letters, fiend forever. And it was like, oh, Lexi.
Well, she's like the only one that I think didn't necessarily get to pay tribute to him when he passed because she was out with the baby. So this is like
she couldn't even make it to the show. She tried.
Yeah, she couldn't even make it to the show. So it's like this is her opportunity to say really say like thank you and goodbye, at least in this context. So I don't fault her for that at all. I thought it was super sweet that she did that.
I was gonna say she looked good in the ring.
She looked cute as fuck in her gear. Like that whole look was adorable. They even reworked the Lily doll too.
New merch.
I'm going to be very curious about where she ends up and who she's going to interact with. Because if she goes to Friday and they kind of have her playing with the White Six, that will be interesting.
It'll be very, very interesting. But she had a hell of a performance in the Royal Rumble.
She looked fantastic.
Zelina Vega, Candice LeRae, Stephanie McCoy from NXT got the big call up for this match.
With respect, she can step on me.
Disrespectfully, she can step on me.
And then number 25, it's time to rock and roll, Trish Stratus.
That was a nice surprise.
They didn't rely on the legends for this one, which was good to see.
For either of them.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and the men's, they really didn't. I mean, everyone who's there is basically a fairly active worker.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was nice to see Trish. It was good to see her in the Rumble. But I was really happy to see that you had so many active talent on the women's side filling this out. And they gave a lot of people, especially NXT people, the shot to kind of come up and shine and be in front of that crowd, which was cool.
I gotta say, I was surprised by Jada Parker. I didn't know if she was going to be quite ready for prime time, but she did well.
They're testing her out. They're seeing what she can do, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe they have this.
Okay.
Let's say maybe they have the same concern.
Well, I think with her, they see a lot. And I mean, you've heard the comparisons on NXT where she's very much like Bianca, someone who was a track star or basketball player? Or no, soccer.
I think she was soccer.
She was a D1 athlete that they've transitioned into wrestling along the same lines of like a Bianca Belair. And she's got the attitude and like the presence. And I mean, she has the general athletic ability, but it's one of those things of like, you now can kind of like see it's all kind of coming together. And especially with that feud she had with Lola Vice, you're kind of like, okay, she's taking that step.
So good for her. After Trish, we had Raquel making her entrance into the Rumble. And this was surprising where they had her enter, but good for them for kind of shaking it up, because I think everybody thought she was going to show up at 30. And at 27, Miss Charlotte made her return to the WWE. I just need to say this. Whomever told her those britches look good, I need to have a conversation with you. I really, really, really do. Not in a bad way, just in a different way. Because from the front, they look great. From the back, not so much. After Charlotte, we had Julia making her Royal Rumble debut, which was really cool. She and EO found each other. They were somewhat happy to see each other.
Her and Stephanie found each other and put in some work.
They were less happy to see each other, but they worked together. Like, the future of the women's division is looking really good, y'all. Coming in at 29 was Nia Jax. And then number 30, everybody thought it was going to be a Becky, but it wasn't a Becky. It was a Bella. Nikki Bella rounds out the field for the Women's Royal Rumble.
So, with going to Nia Jax, there was a spot where the six women are hanging off the side of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll talk about that, Lemons. We'll get there. That was a unique spot. All of them hanging like that, trying to survive, and then Nia knocks all six of them off.
That was really good.
That was clever.
Having her, like, eliminate person after person after person after person, you just have her, like, bump a bunch of people off.
Because she eliminated, nine? Yeah. Impressive performance.
Is that the record?
I think it is. I think it is the record. I think someone tweeted about it. It was record. But yeah. Nikki and Bailey had a moment on the outside, it seemed like.
Yeah, I saw that video.
So maybe that will lead to something. We'll see what Nikki Bella's future is, whether she's doing something, was this a one-off, or she actually has plans for WrestleMania. Who knows? There's a lot of women in this. You got two nights of WrestleMania, and you got Io, Liv, Lyra, Bianca, Bailey, Naomi,
Chelsea,
Jordan, Alexa, Charlotte, Nia, all need matches.
Jade,
if she comes back, Rhea, Tiffany, all need matches. That's healthy for wrestling.
That's definitely healthy for
wrestling. And that's not saying Julia or Stephanie Vaccour one day, or Meechin or whoever. That's just, you look at the list, you it's a healthy division. You're not going to get everybody on. Like, I think the night before WrestleMania, Lyra, or the night after WrestleMania, Lyra will defend her title, or Chelsea will do it on the night before WrestleMania or something. I feel like we're going to, if we can't get them on, it's probably going to be one of those type deals. Because not everyone's going to get a spot, but there's a lot that need a spot, which is great to see.
I kind of hope, and this is, I don't say this to be mean, but I very much hope that Nikki Bella was a one-off. And the reason I say that is because in a lot of ways, I feel like the division has kind of moved on from when Nikki was there. And I don't know how she fits into it now. Just knowing what's there, knowing where we're potentially going, is like, we're like, you could inject her in some places, but it's like, I just don't see necessarily how she fits into WrestleMania. Rhea and Tiffany, they're off the table. They're probably, if they have Nikki there, they will not point Nikki to either of them.
No.
In part because Rhea would, like, kill Nikki in game. You have Chelsea, you have Lyra, and you could do something there. But again, it's, do I want to see them defend against somebody that's there all the time? Because I'm going to pull this shit. Versus somebody that's there for, like, just a, like, for WrestleMania, and that's it.
I'll say this on the other side. We thought the same thing with Nia Jax, and Nia Jax fit in pretty well since she's coming back. We'll see.
To be fair, Nia put in the work.
And if Nikki wants to come back and put in the work,
it's fine. Completely fine.
We'll have to see how it works out. But also, I forgot Roxanne, and also, you know, The Man. That's another two names.
Man decides to come around, we don't know at this point when she's going to come around. Everybody thought tonight.
I'm just saying, for the health of the division, there's so many names.
Oh, yeah.
But in the end, Charlotte Flair is your 2025 Royal Rumble winner.
I'm fine.
Your first
with this.
Two-time winner.
Again, we talked about Thursday. It was like, this is the right story you had to tell.
It will be fine. They'll do whatever with her, and it'll be okay.
This one was the predictable. This is where you're like, okay, yeah, Charlotte wins, lol. She gets her title shot. You know, she gravitates towards the top of the division, but at the same time, it's like, it's a recognizable name, and she's going to elevate whatever match she's in at Mania to be at a big level.
Yeah, especially if you're going to point her at someone like, say, a Tiffany Stratton, and you use Charlotte as a way to further make Tiffany Stratton, which is what I would hope is what happens.
Seems to be the idea.
That you have Charlotte put Tiffany over, and you build that next star. Because in terms of wrestling, in terms of WWE, Charlotte has nothing to prove. Absolutely nothing. She has, short of breaking her dad's record, I think she's pretty much done it all on a top level. Like, you could have her go for the US title, or you could have her go for the IC title, because those are titles that she's never won before. They were just created. And if you want to have her go that route and kind of have her point there, so she can become, you know, an even further triple crown,
Grand Slam,
whatever it is, champion, you can do that, right? You have that runway for her, because I honestly don't know how much longer she's going to be with the company. I really, 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 truly don't, you know?
She's someone that looks to be eyeing some things outside as well.
Yeah, she's kind of like turning her eye, and it could be that she's earned that right to be a part-timer. She only comes in when they need her, and then the rest of the time she's gone. And if that's the case, I'm fine with that, because a little bit of Charlotte goes a long way. And also, if this is her last run, if this is it, girl, make your money, do your thing, and then go live your life.
Well,
and enjoy your life.
And one of the things to bring up about her coming out for all of this, and I mean, we all talked about it, we referenced it, Charlotte came out with that big old knee brace. Because she's had, you know, the ACL, she blew out her knee, essentially. And so it's one of those kinds of things, like, yes, she's a remarkable athlete, but at the same time, it's like, all right, now that knee has kind of seen some damage to it.
And we don't know what kind of shape the other one's in.
Right. And so like you're talking about this idea of maybe, like, is this her last run? This could be one of those things where it's like, yeah, she'll go out, she'll give what she can, and then, you know, maybe she does have her eye on other things, because you can't be wrestling forever, and if you blew out your knee already...
And her age is catching up now.
Yeah. She's now...
This is her last run, probably.
She's not the young prodigy anymore.
How old is she?
38, maybe, I think.
Let me double 38. Check.
Charlotte's 38, so...
I didn't realize she was that old.
I mean, think about it.
Not that it's old.
She was
like a very, like, young teenager during WCW.
Right, and out of the Four Horsewomen group, she was the oldest of it. Right, so she came in with all of them, but had five... Like, she started later than all of them, so...
And she was an athlete before that.
Yeah, so...
Yeah. So, I mean, if this is the last run for her, or after this she goes on, like, this is the last, like, full-time run, that's fine. I have no issue with that. Like, her winning, her going on to WrestleMania, if she challenges Tiffany, and they use Charlotte as a way to put Tiffany over, I am completely, absolutely fine with it all. Now, if they do LOL Charlotte wins, I don't have the energy to be mad about it anymore. I'm going to be really honest about that. I just don't have that level of energy or care at this stage to really worry about it, because Tiffany will get the belt back at some point. It will all balance out, but they're going to do what they think is going to make them the most money and put the most eyeballs on their product.
Yeah,
and that's the thing to keep in mind with that. But it was a very, very, very good Women's Royal Rumble.
Yeah, very enjoyable. What's next?
Up next, we have your tag titles on the line, which after the Women's Rumble, I'm going to be very honest, I forgot this match was a thing. I was like, oh, right, there's other matches other than the Rumbles. So you had the Motor City Machine Guns taking on DIY for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. I mean, the match was
good.
Fantastic. Like, you don't expect anything less from them.
It was good. It was very enjoyable. It took the crowd a minute to really, like, get into it.
Yeah.
I think they could have done... I think the 2 out of 3 falls hurt them. I liked the first fall, like, as a finish in general.
They broke out the bar finish?
Yeah, the fake tag finish. I thought that was a good finish. It could have just ended a normal match. I think 2 out of 3 falls hurt them a little bit because a little awkward. Because it felt a little early for falls, but that's usually how these matches go. But by the end, they got the crowd, and it delivered what it needed to do and had a surprising interference from the Street Profits.
It did. So it seems that the division is heating up and the Street Profits don't care who they fight because attacked everybody.
No, they care who they fought because Michael Cole made it clear. They attacked Motor City because they want to be the ones to dethrone DIY.
But they still hate DIY because they attacked them after.
That too. That's why they want it. They want to take the belts from DIY. That was the goal, apparently. Or the storyline reason.
It took me a second because I was like, is that Dawkins?
So what I learned on Twitter, apparently Dawkins has been walking around with a crutch this week.
Yeah.
In Indy, selling it.
So, I mean,
commitment.
We stand the commitment here. Like the just the effort is great.
So great commitment. Good match overall. Matt said solid B. I would go solid B for them.
Yeah, I'd say that's a solid B, Brent.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to this, and I'll probably say more about this tomorrow. I like Rock. I really like the first the first fall finish. Callback to the bar and New Day with a false tag to lure people in. you got to see the good of Motor City Machine Guns and some of that tandem offense that they do. Alex Shelley really sold well because I thought for a moment there he really was he messed up his chest at some point. He did get busted open in the nose, legit, and then Tommaso got busted open as well. So they didn't leave this match unscathed.
No, they really didn't.
But all in all, good. And like I talked about last Sunday, the thing that I really like about bringing the Motor City Machine Guns in, and people were bitching about like, oh, they're going to, get lost and it's, they're going to be devalued because WWE doesn't care about tag team wrestling. I don't know about you. Thursday's looking pretty good for tag team wrestling right now.
Friday.
I mean.
Or Fridays with DIY, Pretty Deadly, the Motor City Machine Guns, Berto and Garza, and now you've got the Street Profits back in the mix. So you've got 5 teams that are all vying against one another.
Hunter just said all what you just said on the press conference exactly as you like. He was rattling off the team like 30 seconds before you started talking about all the teams. He said next few months should be interesting as the division heats up.
God damn it, Hunter!
One brain. We're tapped into Hunter's brain. Let's go.
We'll get into that later with Rock.
Yeah. We had a mole moment. But yeah, really, really, really good, solid match to, cool down from the Women's Rumble. And then we went into Cody and Kevin.
God, these two.
And they tried to kill each other. They tried to kill each other.
Well, they did. They literally did.
I mean, and we said that. We knew it was going to be a fight. We knew it was going to be physical. You would think that they would, pull back just a little bit, just a tad, because, Mania's coming and you don't want to get hurt right before WrestleMania. Cody, I'm looking at you. And so, yeah, you would think that they would have pulled back just a smidge, but oh God, no. These two, I think, legit tried to end each other.
Well, what was it? In the first 3 minutes, Cody took a body slam through the stanchions of a ladder, and then Kevin whipped him with it.
Yeah.
That was the start of the match.
Yeah.
I like the mini ladder that they used in the match. I thought that was clever.
Oh, God. Kevin, you fucking troll. This is why I love Kevin Owens matches, because something like that will come up, and he will ad-lib the shit out of it and make it work. So, yeah, they pull out this, tiny three-rung ladder, and Kevin's looking at it like, what the fuck do I do with this? And then I love the fact that he set it up and was looking like he was going to use it to jump off of onto Cody, and then he's like, nah, screw this.
Anything for the lols, for the memes. This is why we love Kevin.
So, this thing got physical and destructive. They wanted to kill each other. They literally were killing each other. The fact that the match almost was stopped, referees came out, Nick Aldis came out, Sami Zayn came out.
Sammy, we need to talk about your life choices, honey. Like, get away from that boy. You make bad decisions every time you're around him. He's not good for you. Get away from him. You would think he would know that. You think he would listen, but oh no, 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 not Sami Zayn. Oh no, he's a glutton for punishment. And boy, how is he probably going to get it? Because he played a factor in this match.
Actually, Sami really didn't do anything in this match.
No, he just sort of... His face told stories. It told stories.
Yeah, he wasn't physical. He was a silent observer of looking the chaos out, that happened.
Looking out for his friend.
Technically he was looking out for both of them.
Looking out for both of them.
But he could have done that from backstage. He didn't have to sit or stay at ringside to do that. So he was out there serving specific interests.
Yeah. So Kevin was bleeding by the end, and then he took the Alabama slam off the announce table through a ladder where his head went through the rungs of the ladder.
God damn.
That looks scary as fuck.
Kevin sold that like a fucking champ. Homeboy did not move for 5 minutes.
But in the end, Cody retains the titles.
Not without damage and not without having gone through war, because Cody sold the fuck out of his injury, too.
Cody also stood over Kevin at the very end, so we'll see if that has any ramifications.
I'm sure it will. Maybe they'll just resolve to get along. Does anybody believe that? Does anybody think that will really happen? Yeah, I didn't think so.
Yeah. Should note that they were playing up Cody's injuries, that who knows when he'll be in the ring next. And it could be you're setting up something for him. And he'll be at SmackDown, but who knows whether or not he'll be competing on the road to WrestleMania, if he can make it to WrestleMania. They're playing off the physicality of this match.
Well, I think we know who Jey Uso is going to go for.
Yeah.
So there is a chamber match coming.
There is, and we got news on that, too, to talk about as we go.
But speaking of Jey Uso, let's get into the Men's Royal Rumble, which closed out the show. Coming in at number one was Rey Mysterio, followed by Penta. They just went right for that. No nothing. They just gave us that.
No foreplay. Just
right in. Just straight in. So thank you, Hunter, for that. Little foreplay on that would have been nice, but okay. I'll take it. Followed by Chad Gable, Carmelo Hayes, Santos Escobar,
Gonna stop you. So he was in a ring with three luchadors at that point.
He was.
So he had to fight off his luchadors, and he almost did. And Penta almost screwed up a spot where all four got tossed. Four of them were tossed over. He almost fell off the apron, but he held on.
There was a very questionable spot with a couple special spots with Penta. I'm not gonna lie. Like, it's fine. He did fine. But it was just like you're sitting there and you're like, ooh.
Yeah, those feet hovered 1 inch above the mat at one point. It was like, oh, this could have screwed up.
I know for sure one touched.
Yeah.
I didn't see the other, but I know for sure one touched. And I'm like, ooh. It's like that was almost not good. But yeah, followed by Braun Breaker.
Jesus. Ooh, God, that man decimated the field.
He did. He speared people. It was Braun Breaker. Crowd loved them, Braun Breaker. And we'll talk more as later with him.
He had one job.
He did.
Just a break.
He did. And then who came out next?
Well, it would have been Akira Tozawa, but somebody decided to be a mole. Would you like to set this up?
So, on the Tuesday, I wrote on wildtalkradio.com in the dishing out section, and I quote, "I can see WWE putting iShow Speed in the Royal Rumble, where he'll be live streaming," and he probably was, I wasn't watching his stream. "And sitting next to Triple H at Gorilla," and he was in Gorilla, "and his name gets called, and he gets, you know, there's a live feed, iShow Speed heading to the ring, and getting tossed out by someone like Braun Breaker. Thank you for listening to my ideas, Triple H. Thank you very much. It went as I predicted." dicked it. Thank you.
I thought it was going to be almost, but close enough.
Yes. But I would discuss it on Thursday, but yes, it happened. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Dear God, iShow Speed was basically broken in half, though, by
Braun Breaker. He was. He ate a spear from Braun Breaker and then got tossed out of the ring on top of Otis, who then just flipped him over. There's a picture of iShow Speed afterwards, neck brace, and a crotch thing.
Did you see his leg?
No.
There's a video on Logan Paul's Twitter, or X, whatever, and he goes to check on iShow Speed behind the scenes, and you look, and it looks down, and there's this giant, like, burn slash rubbed raw section that's probably about 3 inches in diameter on his calf. And I don't know if that's when he slid into the ring, or if that was from Otis chucking his ass over top on the announce table, but at some point he got like scraped up hardcore on his leg.
Well, I mean, they say it's not for the weak, and I mean, there are injuries that occur. I'm sorry it happened to him because it sounds like he got ring rash, but I'm not sure which would be worse, carpet burn or ring rash.
Yes.
One in the same.
One in the same. Okay, all right, but he went out there, he had some fun. He had a good time. Followed by iShow Speed was Sheamus, Jimmy Uso, Andrade, Jacob Fatu.
Who had himself a night.
Oh, who had like himself a some monster. Fun.
He's being built for something.
You know, I remember when he was coming in, like Solo was already there and people were already saying like, there's a fear that Solo's going to be eclipsed by Jacob Fatu.
And it's happening.
Oh, it has 1,000% happened, where all of a sudden you look and you're like, yeah, Solo's an afterthought. Jacob is the guy now.
And it's just getting started.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're just now giving him the mic.
Yeah.
And he's he's going to be something. All right, we had Ludwig, we had Miz, and then Brent said his name
and he appears!
Because we all believe in Joe Hendry.
In your TNA champion, Joe fucking Hendry. And Indy, I love you for the fact of how into it you were.
Did they knew him. The title out?
Yeah, he had it right on his shoulder.
No, he had it around his waist.
Waist, yeah. He had it.
He walked out with the belt, and the second that music hit, Indy erupted. I loved it.
They knew him.
They believed in Joe Hendry tonight.
They believe he got the crowd into it with him. So, with it,
I fucking love Sheamus though. Homeboy stood in the corner and just watched all of Joe Hendry happen with a smile on his face of like, "What is this shit?"
Sheamus, I believe, then Joe Hendry. Number 16 was Roman Reigns, Drew McIntyre, Finn Balor, Shinsuke Nakamura. The person who did not believe in Joe Hendry was the man who eliminated him. Put the ones up for your tribal chief, your OTC, Roman Reigns, who put an end to Joe Hendry.
I was surprised at how low Roman went. The fact that he came in at the teens was a little shocking.
He has minutes requirement in his contract for a month. It's a new month, so he's getting all his minutes in for tonight. Like, he got all of his minutes in for January on January 6th.
And I think it also was, by putting him in early, you got him to be in some good spots that I think if you had him later on, you wouldn't have been able to do, because it would have been so late in the match.
Yeah.
So he still got to have that kind of shine put on him for a while. But this is where we started to see the names come through, and we're like, oh, they're starting to load this thing up now. We're hitting the big parts of the Rumble.
So they said,
Drad.
This is the most star-studded Rumble they've done.
I mean, that's fair.
We got Roman Reigns at 16 and then Drew McIntyre at 17. It's like, all right, we're starting to fill up. Finn Balor, Shinsuke Nakamura, Jey Uso. AJ Styles makes his return to being the phenomenal AJ Styles with the old music and everything.
Massive pop.
old gear.
They brought
old
out
gear.
The old music, and I think everyone went, oh, thank God.
He's back to being babyface AJ Styles, because this might be his final run, too. Then you got Braun Strowman. You got a lot of former champions in this match. Mm-hmm. John
That's
Cena.
22 Braun Strowman.
22 Braun Strowman. 23 was John Cena.
Okay.
Huge.
Retirement tour. Here we go.
Huge pop. Huge everything. CM Punk.
All right, we're getting some more names in here.
John Cena, CM Punk, and Roman Reigns stood in the ring together for whatever, 90 seconds.
Didn't touch.
The crowd just ate it up. And as they were getting ready to do something, burn it down.
And this is when we all went, oh, they're really doing this now.
I just liked all the really sort of like, just, hey, we're just going to give you this. We're just going to chuck this at you. Even though at least with Seth and Punk and Roman and Cena, like they've been teasing it a little bit, but like just the fact that they did that in the Rumble and they just gave that to us, it's like, oh, thank you. That's I'm going to take that with me, because that's going to spark some ideas.
And I liked the fact that it's like they started to touch on all of the convergent storylines that are involved with those four. That it's like, oh yeah, Cena fought Roman, and Roman and Seth have this giant history, especially in Indianapolis, as they touched on. And then, you know, there's the background of CM Punk and Seth that we all know about. Oh, and then there's CM Punk and Roman Reigns, which we saw at War Games. And so it's like, yeah, all of these things are starting to come together, and it's like, oh yeah, we're really hitting the road to WrestleMania right now.
And there was no notes on this part whatsoever. Like, no notes for the way that the rest of this pretty much went. Because after Mr. Burn It Down, Mr. Chicken Finger Slut Man Person came out in Dominic Mysterio.
I want to say, Cena, Punk, and Roman were doing their stare. Then Rollins comes in, and then he just erupts the fight. He went right after Punk, and then Cena and Roman went after each other. And they just sort of, all right, the match is back on. Match is back. We're about to fight. Back to fighting. And then you got Dom and...
I'm sorry. My favorite thing is, so you have two announcers in Pat McAfee and Michael Cole, who instantly are like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, we had this star-studded lineup for about 7 entries, and now we get this chuckle fuck coming down to the ring. And then you have Wade Barrett. Bless his soul, Wade Barrett was talking him up like he was going to be the next world champion.
I need Wade Barrett to call every single goddamn Royal Rumble from now on. Like, I just really do. Like, he was so good tonight. Like, that whole announce team was so good tonight. Like, I need that in my life. Although, Wade, honey, you could be a little less obvious in the fact that you were in a throuple with Sheamus and Drew. If you could just work on that. That would be great, because he pretty much all but stood up and said, that's my husband. Twice.
I mean, look, you gotta support your boys.
I'm not shaming him for it. I'm just saying, you could be less obvious that y'all are married, okay? Just either go whole ass or don't do any ass. Just, you know, that's all I'm saying.
I say, Wade, live your life. Live your life, baby.
I mean, he could have at least worn a shirt. After Tom was Sammy. And then Mr. I'm Over in Indy, giant ass babyface Damian Priest came out. He got a big ass pop.
Mm-hmm.
LA Knight. And I think that was it. Nobody else showed up in the Rumble, right? That was it. They went for 29 this year. No, there isn't anything else that, you know, we care about, right? You know, the 30 doesn't matter. It was nobody important. You know, it doesn't matter. Right.
Lindsay, you saw how I entered number 30 on the spreadsheet, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, we were sitting there at the moment, and I'm going through, and like Damian Priest comes out, and they're like, all right, number 29 is about to enter. And I'm starting to think to myself, I'm like, okay, we're at the very end. For the Women's Rumble, we're sitting there around 30, and we're like, oh, is it Bex? Who's it going to be? And then we heard Nikki, and we're like, oh, yeah, it's Nikki Bella. And, you know, Becky will come back whenever she wants to. That's fine. But we, you know, you got towards the end of this and you're like, okay, we kind of, there were a few options. By the time we got to the men's and LA Knight came out at 29, I was going to type, who do we think is going to be 30? And then it jumped in my head of like, oh, fuck no, there's one person that hasn't entered yet. And it's like, at that moment, I just got so sad that I had to type the name in. And I put it in before it was officially revealed for 30, and I just had to put the little frowny face with it because I was like, God damn it, I know who this is.
And nobody wants him here. It was Logan Paul, in case y'all haven't figured out. Number 30 was Logan Paul. And then we just had a fight after that where everybody that was left went for everybody.
There was still a good number of people in that ring when 30 hit.
There were.
It was like, what, 10 or 11 people?
8 or 9, I think, maybe. There was a lot.
Yeah, there was still a lot of people left.
So the big coming out of it was... we should mention there was a moment of Roman and Seth had a they took down everyone, and then they had their own special like moment to, or two together, and they just stared at each other and then fought, and then pushing and shoving. There was the pushing and shoving between the two. The only way you're getting through WrestleMania is through me, basically. And then they had a pushing and shoving contest, and then they were hanging on the rope, and then CM Punk was like, bye bitches. Toss them over the top rope. And then I'm going to have Brent do this next part. Who got eliminated next?
CM Punk got eliminated next.
By who? By who?
Logan fucking Paul.
There you go. Wanted to make him say it.
Logan fucking Paul eliminated. I just wanted, like, there's going to be people on the internet who lose their fucking minds for the next day about the fact that Logan Paul eliminated CM Punk.
You want to know why it makes it even better? Did you see SmackDown?
No.
Did you see SmackDown, Brent, or no?
I saw parts of it.
So CM Punk was talking to Kevin Owens, right? Mm-hmm. And he's cutting this promo, and he said, Kevin Owens he mentioned there's only one person who's lost 5 title matches at the Royal Rumble. That was Kevin Owens.
Oh.
And then he goes, I also have never been pinned by Logan Paul.
I mean, to be fair, he still hasn't been pinned by Logan Paul.
No, but it's fitting. He mentions Logan Paul as a dig
and
to Kevin Owens.
Gets chucked out.
Then he's, yeah, he gets taken out like that.
Rock, just to let you know, I rewound the. This is why I love Peacock, is because since the pre-show or the post-show is still happening, it's all still the same feed, so I can go back.
Yeah.
10 people were in the ring when Logan Paul entered at 30.
Nice.
Okay. A third of the field were still in the match.
And they went for like 15 more minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it was, after number 30 came out. Because it was like, Cena had like 27 minutes, like, okay, or 34 minutes or whatever. And it's like, okay, we're going here. We're doing the thing. So Logan Paul gets eliminated by, John Cena, and LA Knight is out by H Styles, and all these people are gone. And it's down. Logan Paul, John Cena, and Jey Uso, and first thing Lindsay types was something basically like, I hope they don't have LA Knight win. But, you know.
It was Logan Paul.
Logan Paul, yeah. Logan Paul, that's right, man. Logan Paul. And it was not as clean as that statement was. and then Logan Paul.
Y'all know me. Y'all know how I talk. You know there's at least one expletive in that.
It just happens, all right, y'all? It's a very emotional time for us.
Logan Paul's eliminated, so it's down to Jey Uso and John Cena. Like, it's clear. John Cena is going to WrestleMania. John Cena's winning the Royal Rumble. And they battle for about 5-6 minutes. You get all the, for the last time, that you can't see me and all the things, doing all the 5 moves of Dooms, brother. And everything, and they're fighting on the apron. There's a spot where John Cena's leg he's like hanging on with one foot, and his leg is hovering over. It's like, oh my god, he's gonna go out. He doesn't go out. Gets him up on the shoulders. AA. Jey gets out. Jey shoves him off. Jey Uso's going to WrestleMania.
I legitimately popped fucking hard for this. So we talked about with the Women's Rumble. Okay, Charlotte wins. Lol.
Predictable.
We get to this point and we're like, okay, John Cena versus whomever. Cena wins, lol. And to me, it brought back memories of 2013 when I was at the Rumble, and it's like, okay, Cena versus Ryback. Yeah, Cena's gonna win, lol. They actually pulled the trigger on Jey Uso. And that's why I'm so happy about it, because all of a sudden, it became... like, the John Cena retirement tour, of course he's going to win the Rumble, and then he's going to get set up for the Mania main event, and then he's going to get this and that, and it's like, no, nope. You're actually using Rumble to build someone, or to take someone who's basically in that main event picture, but take them even further up a notch. And I messaged Rock and Lindsay about this. Who would have thought at the very start of the pandemic era, when we hit the Thunderdome, if someone said Jey Uso, who was just having to be a singles person because Jimmy got hurt, but Jey Uso is going to not only break off into being a singles person, not only be able to call himself main event Jey Uso, and not in a sarcastic tone, but will be, honest to God, main eventing and having championship matches with people and win the Royal Rumble at one point. No one would have fucking believed it.
Nope.
Mm-mm. Not one bit.
That's why this is so good.
That's why it really is so good. So Jey Uso, winner of the Royal Rumble. So that's the Royal Rumble. So that's a lot of things, and we have more stuff to talk about. I am going to play this. I hope it picks up. We're going to make sure it picks up, so we're going to switch over to this thing so I can make sure you see it. You guys should hear it.
Everybody, thanks for showing up.
Right?
In these things, usually I field all questions and go way too long. I would like to do something different tonight. I'd like to play a little game. It's called Who Can Get the Headline Out Fast Enough? So I'll be fielding no questions and trying to do my best to make a statement moving forward. In the 23 years I've been in this business, I know there are different perspectives about my path, but my truth is I've never used my opportunities for a spot that I haven't earned. Tonight was special for many reasons, but it has begun to sink in that it was my last Royal Rumble. And in Las Vegas, and looking at the sign when it was down to two, and I had a moment to let the energy sink in, I realized that Las Vegas is my last WrestleMania. The last time I main evented a WrestleMania was 2013. That's a long time ago. The reason that hasn't been at the forefront in my mind, I've been a gimmick. I've been the first match. I've been in the middle. I've shared beers with the fans because my truth, my perspective is I've always done what's best for business. Tonight, standing in that ring, I wanted this experience to be a tour of goodwill. I've openly admitted I don't know how much I have left in the tank, and I just wanted to do something that would be nice for all of us to get together and have a good time. Unfortunately, tonight, it dawned on me that that's not best for business. What is best for business is I main event WrestleMania. And what is best for business is for the first time I confidently say that I'm going to win a 17th championship. So I'm announcing tonight that I will compete in the Elimination Chamber. And I'm saying that because after 23 years of loyal service to this company, I feel that opportunity is earned. And yes, I'm flying back to Hungary to film a movie, so what I'm going to do is give my five other opponents 1 month to slander my name and bolster their self-confidence the best that I can. I told Toronto when I announced my retirement that I was grateful for the city and I would be back. And I would be back to kick ass. It is time to walk that talk and be who I say I am. I am going to the Elimination Chamber to win. And I'm going to main event my final appearance in WrestleMania and win a 17th championship because that's what's best for business. And I say that because it is not best for my ego. It is not best for my business. I have built my existence here off of hard work, loyalty to this company, and respect for all of its branches. I will win 17 not for me. I will win 17 to someday shake the hand of the person who wins 18. Thank you very much.
That is that strong.
That's a statement.
Did he just go just a little, like a smidge heel? Was that like a tease of a heel John Cena?
I wouldn't say heel John Cena. I would say that's confident John Cena as a hey, I want this shit. Determined. I want this to my now. And this was his one chance to cut a promo.
And it was a good promo. He did a hell of a job. Like,
They have 1 month to slander my name.
We do. We have 30 days.
Good job, John.
Like, you say whatever you want. I don't care. This is mine. Peace out.
Run your goddamn mouth because Dad's coming home.
I'll be back in 30
Father
days.
Father is coming back.
Yeah. It was the right thing he had to say.
Oh, totally.
Well, especially because if he is going to be off shooting a movie, he's not going to be on TV. He might be live via satellite.
We'll see him in 30 days.
Right. But it's like he had to put the tent or, you know, put the flag down of like he's going to be in the Elimination Chamber, because it wouldn't be the same if like Hunter walked out or Adam Pearce walked out and was like, we're going to announce these matches for Elimination Chamber. Oh, by the way, John's already going to be in it. We're just going to tell you up top. That wouldn't carry the same thing. But if John is the one declaring, like, I'm putting myself in the Elimination Chamber, I'm doing this to set up my Mania match. It's like, oh, okay.
So that's what it needed to be done. So there's a couple other notes that we need to talk about. Number one, because Hunter talked about it in his presser, and I looked it up, or at least looked up one part of it. So iShow Speed was in fact streaming. Kai Sinat was streaming to over 130,000 people at that given moment, to whatever the concurrent was and the peaks and values and overall viewership. It was probably in the tons. The segment that moment for iShow Speed did like 2 million views on Speed stuff. It's 1.4 on WWE's Twitter.
I mean, there you go.
Because they talked about impressions, so like, that's what it does. It drives. WWE is no longer in a ratings business in terms of, hey, this is what we did on Monday night. They're not gonna, like, everyone else is reporting it, and they're not gonna. When it's really high, they're gonna report it. But when it's not, it's like everyone's gonna look at it. Oh, it's 3 million people worldwide. Yeah, that's 3 million people. That watched it, and more will continue to watch it. But social media impressions, where people are interested in the product, and it's like, the fans of WWE, Hunter put it, are like, you know, are fans of Speed and Sinat and Travis Scott and whoever, and they bring them all as impressions, and it just stuff trends and just gets popular. It's like, they're not going to watch the program every week, but they now know what's going
WWE has become that crossroads of fantasy, reality, and pop culture. More so than ever,
yes.
Especially as we push into that modern era. And one of the things that they have done exceptionally well, especially since the onset of it, was they embraced the digital age. They went all in on social media, and they just have not looked back on that. And they are an absolute machine when it comes to their digital presence. Like nobody, or I should say not nobody, but very few people can touch them, or very few brands can touch what WWE can do in terms of their marketing, in terms of their branding, in terms of getting their message out there. Like, very few know how to do what they do. And I admire it, because it's helped to keep the company alive, it's helped to keep it relevant, and it's helped it to evolve. Because as social media trends change, as marketing trends change, WWE evolves with it.
Indeed.
In fact, they're generally ahead of the curve. So when they start to do something, y'all better pay attention.
Indeed.
That means shit's about to change.
It's why they're the first streaming show on Netflix weekly.
Yep.
With all that being said, Brandon has housekeeping to give us.
All right, housekeeping. Excuse me. Housekeeping in effect. So we had 11 people do pick 'em. We only had one of the listeners this time.
There's no one. No.
All I saw was Sheila.
I sent you some.
I did not see those.
I sent you Sarah's. There was stuff on.
There was only one I saw on Facebook.
There should be two. I thought Chris did one too.
I didn't see Chris.
it was there. Yes,
the only, like I said, the only one I saw was Sheila, and that's the only one I ended up getting tagged with. So, but for right now, I can try and find some of these for tomorrow. I have 11 people as part of this.
Okay.
In 10th place, going 0-4, was the 8 Ball and 2K24.
Which everyone saw last night.
which included Roman Reigns winning and Alba Fire winning the two Rumbles. So that happened. Seventh place, going 1-3, we have The Wheel, we have Subway, and we have our not WWE expert, Lindsay Ward.
And Chris Pierce.
Okay, and Chris was 1-3, apparently.
Yes.
Tied for what is third right now, although may change depending upon the one or two that I find, we have Rob, Rock, Tim, myself, and is that it?
Yes, there's Sarah was 1-3, 2.
Okay.
I looked at our DM. So, it's because it's in the middle of our DMs. You saw.
Okay. Well, shit. If it was amongst the. Well, I'll take a look. Okay, so that is actually all tied for third because everyone who was third was 2-2. Tim, myself, Rock, and Rob are all 2-2.
There you go.
And tied for first place, we have Keishi and Sheila going 3-1.
And also, congrats to Sheila for being the. She didn't know. I thought she was going to win. It was Jenna who won the men's, and then Sarah got number 27 for the women. So congrats to Jenna and Sarah for winning the Royal Rumble entry contest. Sheila almost had it. Sheila had John Cena, and that was almost a given until
it wasn't. Hunter threw us a fucking curveball.
Ah, good shit tonight. It's a good show.
Gotta love
good,
Hunter.
Good Royal Rumble. Predictability, but unpredictability at the same time.
We got some surprises. We got, a one predictable winner, one not predictable winner, as we talked about. Good moments. Tag match was entertaining. The ladder match was entertaining, even though both men tried to, put each other into a local medical facility. yeah. I don't think you could ask for much more with this, and especially for the fact that it was only 4 matches, 4.5 hours, but it was highly entertaining, and it didn't feel like 4.5 hours. So, well worth it.
Indeed. Let's eat, chat, as we go home.
All right, you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Tomorrow night, it's WTR Sunlight Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. Brent and Tim and me, we'll do this all over again. We'll get Tim's thoughts, and we'll add a little more insight from Brent and stuff. On some of the stuff. As they review the Royal Rumble tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night, Raw Post is back. Whenever Raw ends, 10:30, 11, who knows? It will be live. Whenever Raw ends, we'll be live. I think it may go longer because it's the fallout of the Royal Rumble, so I think we may be going maybe 10:45. Who knows? We'll find out as things go on. Thursday night, we're back live, 10 p.m. Eastern with The Rack. We'll be talking WWE 2K25 and all the news and then whatever else comes out, but we got some stuff to talk about. We got some catching up on news, and we'll go from there. And we'll be back next Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of CB Radio, as we'll be back live next Saturday, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. It's CB Radio Live on Twitter and Facebook and the website CBRadioLive.com. That just flows off the tongue on a Saturday. I don't know why. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. It's at Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms. Wherever you get the podcast, just search The Rack Radio Show. Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use Critical Rocket Sock or
Lin's M-Word
in the Fortnite Item Shop or Epic Game Store when you buy your brand new OG Battle Passes and other weird things and dances and all the skins and stuff, because we are
hashtag epic partners. Brent, you want to go?
You can find me on multitudes of social media, either at Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. Either of those should work. So Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky, Threads, all that fun stuff.
Okay, all right. Well, you can follow me on most of the social medias at Lin's Ward, LNSWRD. You can check me in on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lin's Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SimonLin'sWard. And you can follow me on the TikToks, Lin's Ward Zero. And while you're liking and subscribing and doing all the things, go over to MBG Films. It's youtube.com/MBG1211 for Matt's content. Like, subscribe, tell him we said hi because he does cool stuff over there. So for Rock and Brent, I'm Lizzie Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye.
It's on me now, woo. Yeah, hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's go time now, woo. Okay, yeah, okay, yeah. Hey, let's get it, woo.
Hey, I'm about to get them, woo. I'm about to get them all. Let's go,
woo.
It's just me, woo.
WildTalkRadio.com.